For September the 9th, 2016, we talk about abduction, the Nintendo 3DS announcements, and then we ask you about your worst multiplayer blunders. Welcome to Level 165. My name is Cole Ross.
I am Dennis Furia.
I'm David Meismith, back from the dead.
Hey, David.
I'm Ben Merkel.
Yes, and you're listening to the Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. And that's right, as you heard, David is back here joining us again for the week. And who knows going forward. But yes, back from the dead is appropriate. You sound like you're in a mausoleum, David.
yes. The San Franciscoans, you know, it was like that scene in Inception where suddenly they all realize that you're an invader and just turned on me and then chucked me down a well.
Yep. So we're sending any number of dogs to help you. We didn't feed them, so they're extra hungry and mean. So you're gonna
well,
have that,
you know.
I hope that we didn't just add to your problems.
You do.
But you're ringing in from San Francisco, where you've been doing some professional development over the past couple of months, right?
Yeah. So basically, I think I've mentioned before, I've been doing a coding boot camp. So the last 6 weeks have been instruction in web development. It's basically been 66 hours a week. It's three projects a week, 2 days each. Wow. And so that's been kind of crazy. and then now I have a week off, and then the second half is a thesis project, and I'm actually pretty excited because I got to watch some of the they refer to the second half as the seniors from the last rotation, and there were some really legitimately impressive projects. One of the really cool ones was one did kind of an experimental method of anonymization, where basically it would be like, say you wanted to get statistics on, you know, how many people used, I don't know, heroin, but obviously it's not safe to do that because, you know, then, you know, people would be subject to arrest. So what you do is, you know, say, you know, tell me whether or not you've used heroin in the last month. But before you do, flip a coin, and if it lands heads, say yes. If it lands tails, tell the truth. And so then, since you know that 50% of the time people are lying, you can still figure out the statistics, but you can't prove that any given person was or was not telling the truth.
That's really cool.
Huh.
Yeah, so it's like stuff like that where it's like, wow, these are people who literally 3 months ago had like never programmed before.
Yeah. And when they get out of there, they can be a webmaster at whatever local government they want.
Exactly.
Obviously, I'm being facetious.
David, do they have rankings at the boot camp?
No, they do not.
Is everybody privates?
Everyone is private.
Become public.
No, yeah. David is being modest. He's actually been promoted to first-ranked technomancer, and he just doesn't want anyone to know.
No. You know, you have to swear an oath.
Are you clear yet? Are you a T3 or 4?
Well, are they letting you leave that room, David?
Well, I mean, why do you think it's so echoey? I'm in, you know, solitary.
How much protein have you had? David, we're worried about you.
Who knows?
No, but it's awesome to hear that you're having a good time, and I'm really curious to see what you drum up for your kind of senior thesis thing.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, but we've got David back, but otherwise it's kind of business as usual. We're going to be going through. Has anybody had any other cool stuff happen this week?
I went to Asheville for my 5th year anniversary, so yay!
Jesus, fuck, 5 years?
Yeah, right?
Wow, man. Nice, congratulations. Sorry, I didn't. Yeah. That wasn't like Jesus fuck. Like, oh gosh, you're still together. No, that was like, whoa, it's been 5 years. That feels like yesterday.
Went by in a blink. Yeah. It's been 5 years, and I've had two kids. My life is like
completely
gone
different.
By really fast.
Especially for Dennis and I, considering you got married like right after we graduated college, so it's literally like a count of when we became adults.
Yeah, that's true. I'm sorry, I'm not wasting any time, man. Got to get this life going.
No.
But yeah, we went to Asheville and did a ton of hiking and did a ton of good foodie eating and did a ton of pinball playing.
You ate foodies?
Yes. It's a specialty. It's only in Asheville. You wouldn't have heard of it yet. But yeah, so I'll be talking about their pinball museum, which does not rival the Las Vegas one, but is still pretty cool with the grind.
Oh, cool. Yeah, well, congratulations on that. Ben, how about you?
I played a board game. I don't know if that's cool or not, but it's called Forge War, and it was pretty fun. So that's about it.
That sounds actually pretty badass.
And is it about falsifying a war? Is it like a wag the dog kind of situation? Or
no, you just forge a lot of weapons. But that sounds like a cool game as well. Cole.
Okay,
we can fast track that later.
Yep, just make it like a version of not Civil Twilight. What is it? Twilight Struggle. Yeah. Make it like that. Except like nobody actually does anything.
Wait, you mean like with sparkly vampires?
Yeah, exactly.
Yep, okay. It's the fifth in the series, Hidden Book, I believe.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, no, it's coming. Mm-hmm. Coming up next. And then I started watching True Detective, and that's my big story.
Season one?
Season one, yes.
All right.
I'm halfway through S1 E6 right now.
Okay.
And that is really good. It is some of the best weird fiction I've ever experienced, which is nice.
Wait, weird fiction?
Even saying that might be a bit of a spoiler. It has themes like Southern Gothic kind of stuff like that.
Oh, really? Yeah. See, I thought this was like straight up police procedural.
It has that.
Okay.
Yeah, but then it also has like crazy nihilism. Man, like what's his name? All right, McConaughey. There we go.
To remember his name.
Yep, I had to get a running start into McConaughey. Well,
yeah. It's like Bloody Mary. You say three times to yo summon her. You have to say all right three times.
Yeah. And then he shows up and does push-ups and then disappears. In a cloud of weed smoke.
Oh my god.
Fun fact, Matthew McConaughey has a YouTube channel that nobody subscribes to, and he just recommends bottled water on it.
That's amazing.
Look it up.
Okay. But no, that's that has kind of turned my opinion around on him, because he's real good in that, and I'm super late to the party. I feel even embarrassed talking about it, but I recommend it to anybody who has access to it. Yeah. Running start to McConaughey.
Well, I've already written it down.
We have a title.
Not yet. You know, if we call it this early, it creates a chilling effect, and the titles are a byproduct of funny words. They're not the end, you know? Yeah. But we've got the usual show for you. We're here with the brief, the multiplayer, and the grind, and I see no reason that we should delay getting to
the brief
any further. That's right. This is
the brief,
where we talk about I think I might have done the sound twice there. The brief, where we talk about things that are happening in the things happening in the world of video games around us. Let's see here. Oh boy, I navigated away from the Slack, and I don't know who to throw to. Fuck, I'm gonna leave
There's
that in as penance. Yeah,
blind throw.
David,
he'll marry it.
David, you've got something about emulation here. I'm curious about it. This seems kind of cool.
Yeah. So the Dolphin emulator. I guess I didn't even realize before reading this article it came out just right after the GameCube first dropped. But and you know, apparently it was in development for a time, then was not in development for a time, and then became open source, and like an army of Richard Stallman's implemented it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it has though had a huge thorn in its side. Apparently for a long time it's been able to boot every single GameCube game except one, and that one being Star Wars The Clone Wars.
Okay.
Weird.
They actually link to the blog post from the, developer from the emulator's website, what says where he goes into huge depth on how they approach this, but apparently the short version is that the game uses a really, really bizarre way of handling memory, and they kind of had to reverse engineer that to get it to work.
So I
don't know, like, I'm not sure, like, this is one of those things where there's a number of takeaways you could take from this, and I'm not sure what's right. I mean, one of them being that someone basically spent like a, you know, master's degree thesis level of effort into getting Star Wars The Clone Wars to play.
It has sweet multiplayer, man.
Does it?
You could say it's their white space whale.
can you explain the multiplayer, Ben?
Yeah, there's a sweet base defense multiplayer that it has where I only remember, like, there's two teams, but I think no matter how many players, you just pick a side that you're on. And then there's two types of cars that you can get in, one that's like a fast little cruiser and one that's like a the big tanks that are on Naboo sort of thing. Mm-hmm. That are slow moving but do a lot of damage. And the idea of the game is both sides have a base on either end of the map. And so in between the two bases, there's a bunch of small little outposts, and it's like a symmetric map. But if you get in an outpost, as long as you're in the perimeter of it, it'll start building turrets around the side of it, and there's four of them. And then once it builds all four turrets, it'll start automatically producing people, like units, and it'll only produce two units per base. And then you can command them to either attack the outpost, your enemy's outpost, or attack their base, or defend certain things. And so it's kind of like a area control sort of thing where you're supposed to, you're going like from outpost to outpost to generate people and then trying to send them forward and like attack your opponent.
Wow.
See, this sounds like a MOBA before MOBAs were cool.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds great. I would not have imagined that a licensed Star Wars game would have thrown that kind of effort into a mechanic like that.
Yeah, it was a sweet game. I could only get people to play on split screen because it was before the times of multiplayer. But but yeah, that's a really good multiplayer.
So David, you said one way you can look at this is somebody did a master's thesis on getting the Clone Wars to run. What's the other way?
I guess the other way is it is, you know, from a like legacy of video games type thing. It is kind of cool that people are putting this much effort into preserving these sorts of things.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Although the article does go on to say, although it can now boot every game, it can't necessarily play every game. In particular, it cannot play Phantasy Star Online Episode 1 and 2 Trial Edition, the Game Boy Player, and for some reason, Army Men Sarge's War.
I mean, that's not so much a can't play as much as a shouldn't play.
The emulator just refuses.
Man, every time I try and load up this Army Men game, the emulator just kind of deletes the ROM. That's weird.
They can't play it because they couldn't bring themselves to program how to play it.
So I'm kind of a big fan of the second interpretation of that. I'm very happy that there are people out there kind of dedicated to reverse engineering the ways that these systems work, right? Like, it's obviously a very cool challenge, you know, or at least interesting to them enough to where they did it with no promise of recompense aside from, you know, notoriety or whatever. This is a really interesting blog post because it does show that they have done a tremendous amount of homework, and I kind of want to go read this because I want to understand the problem.
I realize this is Nintendo and Nintendo's, I don't think Nintendo actually believes that emulators exist, but for any rational company, I kind of don't get why they don't at some point just be like, hey, here's the black box, you know.
Well, I don't know. I think that they've it's proven that the ability to resell these things has been lucrative enough for them to continue doing it. And so opening it up would probably put the kibosh on them being able to do that as well.
I suppose so.
Yeah. You know, again, that whole trademark thing where you have to protect it in order to, you know, get this, in order to hold on to it. Go ahead.
That's a real good segue into what I was going to talk about for my brief.
Okay. Did we have anything else about this, or do we want to go right into Benton's?
No, let's roll.
Okay, go ahead.
Speaking about companies re-releasing games, the new Arkham, the old Arkham is coming out in October with updated graphics for the PS4. Yeah, so I believe it is only the first two games, so Arkham City and Arkham Asylum, but they released a side-by-side video today that shows like the difference in graphics between the two games. So
am I the only one who thinks that the Joker actually looks worse in the updated one?
The colors are weird.
Well, and it seemed like, I mean, I guess I feel like in the original, the kind of low graphics, it made him look like someone who's wearing just way too much, what they call that, like grease makeup.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Whereas, like a clown. Like a clown.
Yeah, like a clown, like what he is. and in the updated one, it just looks like he's like gone crazy Michael Jackson skin bleaching.
Yeah, like it just it looks a little bit more like it does, spoilers, when you see the Joker in Arkham Knight. That's mm-hmm. It's a Batman game. You're gonna see the Joker, where it looks more like his skin is, you know, you kind of see the definition of like his pockmarks and just the wear and tear on his face through the makeup,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to it being kind of like a more artificial kind of rictus, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it looks like they definitely upped like the reflections and like lighting and like shiny stuff, but
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, I think the only thing that it will be good for is if for some reason somebody has not played through the series before, like this would be a good entry point. Yeah. However, it costs $50 for the first few games, so I don't know if it's quite worth that or not.
Yeah, and it's only Asylum and City.
Yeah,
Origins is not included.
See, yeah, well, that's not a problem.
True. This is the "we're sorry for everything that came after" edition.
I think that kind of that lends and leads into one of my points, which is for archival completeness, right? Like, okay, it makes sense to put these on a system where people are able to play it because it's quickly becoming very apparent that a lot of stuff, at least on the console side, is kind of getting lost in the this weird little Xbox 360 and especially PS3 gulag, you know.
Okay.
with a lack of backward compatibility. Now, this is ignoring the fact that, you know, the Arkham games are very available and cheap on PC, but keeping these available. However, if they're doing something archival and trying to bring all of these forward, they might as well go whole hog. I don't understand. Like part of me kind of thinks maybe the only reason they're not doing Origins isn't so much like from a PR thing, but maybe it's a technical thing.
Well, yeah, it's also because they didn't develop it, right? It was third party that did that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
That's why I always dump on Origins. Sorry.
No, that's fine.
what about like Arkham Knight or whatever, or
the one from 2015,
maybe
the one for current gen consoles.
Yeah, was that good?
I didn't much care for it. I beat it, but I have very fundamental problems with it.
I liked it, but I like almost anything they put out. So
yeah. Yeah, I don't know. So this is where the old man in me kind of comes out, which is, did these games show their age? It's been a while since I played them, but I still remember them looking really, really good.
Yeah, I don't think they really do.
Huh.
I think the type of person that would have the newest, most updated 4K gaming, you know, setup is the type of person who's going to be willing to invest $50 in an up-resed version. Hmm. So
weird. Well, I mean, if more people get to play these pretty good games, that's a plus.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Are you going to get them, Ben? Go back and revisit? Okay.
I've already played them. Maybe if it comes down in price, maybe.
But. Yeah, yeah. But you have a PC now. You can just pick up. You can just pick them up again on Steam for like $7, which is how I got all of mine.
That's true. But yeah, I mean, I guess that would be the original graphics. Who wants that?
Well, you can run them in like Ultra and shit. Although I guess you wouldn't have the new. It's whatever. It's life is compromised, Ben. let's see here. Dennis, tell me about World of Tanks.
Yeah, World of Tanks and, oddly enough, Valkyria Chronicles, which are getting smashed. What's that?
Chronicles?
Chronicles.
That's what you said. You said Chronicles.
Yeah. Chronicles. Yeah, you know, some people say coupon, some people say coupon, some people say Chronicles, some people say Chronicles. So. Mm.
what do you call the thing on top of your house?
Chimney?
That's weird. Oh man, we've got to get new shingles for the chimney. I was looking to see if you said roof or rough.
I thought you were checking for chimney or chimney.
Apparently, I'm chimney.
Chimney, chimney, or chimbly.
He wanted to know: Are you a whatever century chimney sweep, or are you everyone else?
Continue. So, World of Tanks and Valkyria Chronicles.
Chronicles. That don't like those two games don't really have anything to do with each other, other than there are big tanks in them. But they have announced that they are doing a mashup of sorts, and that Valkyria Chronicles. You know what I think it is? It's the three syllables in each word. Valkyria Chronicles. It just feels like both of those words should have three syllables.
Hmm. You realize Chronicles has three.
Or four. Has Valkyria. Yeah, four. I can count tonight. Yes.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure. It's fine.
Do we just want to like do a mulligan? Maybe you could pick a different article and try again.
Yeah, this one's
rude. Do you smell toast right now?
Yeah, I need an article with an easier to pronounce game in it.
Sorry, we busted your balls. No, you busted your balls enough.
I'm standing by it. Valkyria Chronicles.
Okay.
but they announced that it is coming to World of Tanks Blitz on mobile and PC, and they haven't said exactly how yet. But it's kind of a cool idea to me that these kind of two different games with one thing in common would be mashed up just for fun. So you can watch a trailer for it, but it's really just cuts of the two games that already exist.
So the laziest trailer possible.
The laziest trailer possible. Someone spent like a week at work on this and charged like $30,000. But it's kind of coming. And I thought that would be an interesting question. I know we're doing a multiplayer, but maybe you'll see at some point what two games would you like to see mashed up, or what assets from one game would you like to see in another? Because it's cool, it's joyful. I'd love to see more people doing this for fun, although I recognize that it probably takes a huge amount of effort.
To answer that question just a little bit, I think the Resident Evil 6 Left 4 Dead crossover was pretty epic.
Did somebody mod Left 4 Dead or vice versa?
Oh, no, it wasn't even a mod. It was an official thing on the Steam version.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
nice.
You could play Resident Evil like, as the characters from Left 4 Dead, and I think Left 4 Dead as the characters from Resident Evil 6.
Oh, cool!
Yeah, that's fantastic. Right, I just think of the like Marvel versus Capcom fighting games.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That's a fun idea.
Yeah.
So
that's X meets Y in hell.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, yeah.
So not a huge story there, but cool stuff.
No, I've never played World of Tanks. It's one of those things that I kind of always assume is a dad game.
Maybe I should try it.
It's like a ultra or like fairly simulatory, right? Like,
I think.
Or it's very slow moving, like a more realistic take on tanks, right?
but this is World of Tanks Blitz, which is the spinoff.
Mm.
I have no idea how they're different. I'm just reading the titles.
Yeah. Blitz makes it kind of sound like if it's an NFL Blitz kind of thing, then maybe they're it's like a more arcadey kind of
you take tanks out by body slamming them.
Yep. Yeah, and the fourth down is it's only three downs. Yeah, there we go. Yeah. I think that's how it worked in Blitz. I know football, guys.
Is War of Tanks the same people that do War Thunder?
No idea.
The developer is War Something. Let's see here. Yeah, I was just looking at their name. I don't know why I can't find it again. But they have War in their name, so it's possible.
Hmm. Yeah, because I know War Thunder was like is apparently just a really, really realistic World War II flight sim. So I'd assume, if so, World of Tanks is kind of a similar thing.
It's their developer name is just Wargaming.
Okay, one sec. I'm looking this up.
I had that in my head, and I was like, no, there's no way that name is that bland.
Yeah, no, that's not a proper noun. That's just that's a noun-ass noun.
No, War Thunder's name is Gaijin Entertainment is who developed it.
That's the I think that's the folks that did the BitTrips game, the BitTrip games.
Oh yeah, and they did World of Tanks.
Huh. Oh wow, good for them.
So I know mean BitTrip.
Like... BitTrip.
Right. Yeah, I know at least in War Thunder, it's like really realistic. Like a lot of success relies on like knowing the technological limitations of your opponent's planes, stuff like that. Mm.
I don't see World of Tanks on their thing. Where are you seeing that? I just want to make sure that we don't get a letter.
I just did a Google search. Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, they did do War Thunder. They didn't do World of Tanks.
Okay, but apparently people who search for War Thunder often also search for World of Tanks. Wow. I cannot Google.
Yep.
He's got algorithm typed.
World of Tanks.
Thank you, Warmstar.
Let's see here, and I'm gonna round mine out. This is the big story from last week. It's so weird. It's we're kind of pre-taped call-in show here, because by the time this episode comes out, people will have already heard the Apple announcements, which are happening tomorrow as we record, and then also the Sony kind of thing about the Project S or whatever, the Piss Force and mm-hmm. the PlayStation Slim. Sorry, we don't have information about that. However, last week's news about Nintendo Direct, Nintendo held a 3DS event, majorly kind of announcing this new design of a 3DS. It's just different colors. Who cares? Picross 3D Round 2 is out on the eShop, and I totally meant to buy it, but I didn't. But Picross 3D is amazing, and I want to play this as much as possible now, please. There are a couple of things that are notable here. I just kind of want to rapid fire through these and see if there's anything that people think about this. So Skyward Sword, the Wii game, is on the Wii U eShop right now, which kind of implies that they are not going to be taking an effort this generation to give Skyward Sword the Twilight Princess kind of treatment, or the Wind Waker treatment with an HD remake. So it's kind of like, hey, here's this for you. Go nuts. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also I was surprised to see that Wii stuff is just on the eShop now. I guess I was sleeping on that. Mario Sports Superstars is coming out here in spring 2017. This is just kind of like in lieu of putting out these different Mario sports games. It's like, hey, here's 5-1, which cannot bode well for the depth of any of these things.
Yeah, that's unfortunate, because the Mario sports games have traditionally been awesome.
Right. Man, I just want like a 3DS version of the Mario Tennis game that was like the RPG, like that Camelot one. That game is so good.
maybe that's what they're doing, is they're just like straight up taking all the ones that exist and putting them in one place.
I mean, okay, I'd take that. Just give me an all-star version. Give me Super Mario All-Pro. There we go. Pikmin is getting a 2D version, which seems like a match made in heaven. That's kind of exciting.
Like side-scrolling or like overhead or?
Side-scrolling.
That actually sounds pretty badass.
Yeah, it looks great. Like you're just running around as Olimar and you're directing the Pikmin to do your stuff. Kind of like a lemming kind of thing. Yeah. the one that feels most embarrassing. So let's gauge your excitement as this goes along. So Super Mario Maker, one of the cooler games from last year, a nice little toy creation set, wonderful way to make something and share it with the world and get people's comments and, you know, just go out and experience all this stuff as you kind of go along. They're going to be bringing that to the 3DS, right? Seems like a match made in heaven.
Yay!
I know, right? Oh, there we go. So let's set the high water mark, and then let's pull out the drain, because the key limiting factor in this, you're not going to be able to play all the levels that people make. They're going to be like incompatibilities as they get out of sync. But the bigger thing is levels. Wait, that you go ahead.
What do you mean get out of sync?
Oh, just the Wii U version is kind of getting these patches and updates and stuff. And I believe that those incompatibilities will be with levels that use the newer stuff.
Okay. Yeah. So they're not going to update the, whatever they're on to,
the 3DS version. That's the impression that I get. That seems to me to be the most likely explanation for that. The bigger issue here, and Dennis, I want you to keep that yay that you had in mind, is that the levels that you create on the 3DS on that beautiful little screen that you have a little stylus for, these are not graphically complex games that you're playing around with, the levels that you create, you can't share them.
Yeah, what?
Nintendo, what are you doing?
Isn't that the whole point?
It's the entire thing.
Oh my god. That is unfortunate. That is hostile. That is torture. They're dangling the thing like outside of our reach.
Yeah. So you can do it via Street Pass is the thing that I understand. Like there's like local sharing between 3DS, but like, you know, say what you will about discoverability of stuff on the Wii U version of Super Mario Maker, at least it's available if you look hard enough.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So yeah. I don't know, that's just nuts, and it seems like such a miss. Like, man, if you're not going to go the whole 100 yards, like, don't stop at the 90, because those last 10 are very important.
I'm trying to
be more hostile. Like, he could sue you for infringing upon Mario trademarks.
Super Mario entrapment.
Yeah. It just bricks your 3DS and sends out a GPS beacon. What? You didn't know there was a GPS inside the 3DS? Well, well, trap sprung, motherfucker.
Wow. I'm just hoping for Zelda Maker, whatever. That's what I really want.
Yeah, cool. I would like that too.
Did 3D Dot Games Heroes have a creator of any sort?
You could edit characters, I believe, but it didn't let you do anything with levels.
Okay.
And the character creator was pretty robust. Like you could get some cool stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, I want Zelda Maker. I would love Metroid Maker as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But, womp.
Multiplayer.
Now it is time for the multiplayer, where we ask you a question and you answer it. Let's see here. I believe Jala put this question up. But Dennis, why don't you say what Mai suggested?
Okay, I'm going to do my best Jala impression.
Uh-oh.
So I was asking people, and we're going, now that just came out Valley Girl. I can't do a Jala, apparently.
She's going to beat you up the next time she sees you.
Yeah, I better run. I better start running now, because she's probably running towards me.
You only have like a 5-state lead over her, man.
Yeah, not enough.
Established she's ran like 5 states in the last month.
Right.
Yeah.
Like literally they're tracking it by state. So, yeah. No, Jala asked, and I believe this was submitted by listener Mai.
Mm-hmm.
What is the worst thing you've done to another player while trying to be helpful? Simple, but there's some good stuff in here.
Yeah. And this is this was kind of inspired. Mai was one of the key movers and shakers behind the Armorer Dennis debacle.
Dennis Gate.
Wait. So what is this? Is this something I missed while I was in exile?
Yes, this has been since Dennis got a hold of your PS4 and Slack user Dr. Static lent him his copy of Dark Souls 2, Scholar of the First Sin, where there is an NPC named Armorer Dennis, and people were thinking, haha, we're going to name our dude this and then come into your world. And then Dennis just thought he was being invaded by duckfeed people mocking his name the entire night. When in reality, it was just like a pre-programmed thing that Dennis didn't know about.
Which Cole's kept secret for literally years. This was a long con of epic proportions I don't think Cole even realized he was a part of.
So I forget if Armorer Dennis was in the main body of the game, which is why I don't deserve to host that show, and I should give my half of the amulet to whoever bitches about us next.
Did this suddenly become Legends of the Hidden Temple?
Whenever someone gets salty about us not being qualified, I joke about handing over my half of the amulet as though there is some right by which when I besmirch the knowledge of the game that I purport to, you know anything about, then they get to take my place. Yeah, they get my half of the amulet.
There's not a test to do this shit. You just have to work hard.
Work hard and be really dumb. The Scholar was like last summer, dog. Just like last July or something like that. So it's only been just a little over a year. This isn't literally years.
Yeah, that's fair enough. And I think I remember seeing on the wiki, once I did figure out it was not a real person and looked him up, that it was an addition with the Scholar of the First Sin.
Yeah.
Did the original Dark Souls have, I know it had at least some NPC summons, but was that something that really kicked into high gear in the later games?
It depends on later games. Like it's a big thing in, so they're present in 2, they're abundant in Scholar, and they're abundant in Dark Souls 3.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the big turning point was in Scholar, they gave NPCs the ability to kind of like use gestures at roughly the appropriate time. And that helped people. That helped Dennis not see through the fact that they were, he thought that they were actual people because they were gesturing, you know.
It passed the Turing test, I guess.
Yes. The Dark Souls Turing test.
So they are now technically people.
Right. Yep. And they're out there and you're killing them over and over again, you monsters.
Sounds like the most Dark Souls thing ever.
Yeah.
Well, but, in my case, you're not killing them over and over again. You're dying to them over and over again. I still haven't gone back and gotten my revenge.
Oh man, but just think about it. You're taking their innocence away by not being good. Yeah. You're corrupting these poor AIs.
Yeah.
But let's continue here. Jeremy writes in: I tricked a host into aggroing Solaire as a white phantom.
Amazing.
Yep, that is a bad thing to do. Because when you're finding Solaire, you haven't gotten the item that helps you summon yet, and then also, you're still a ways away, like a little bit away from the guy who can absolve you of that, and you probably don't have enough souls to do it. So that was a dick move, Jeremy. But as a white phantom, I don't even know how you do that. I don't know how you do that accidentally.
But we're mainly impressed.
Yeah. I don't know how you do it accidentally.
So the big thing that's fairly close to the start though. That's just past the first boss, right?
Right. It's past the Taurus demon as you kind of get ready to go into the parish.
So, if you were to restart the game from scratch. You've lost a fair amount of time, but it has not completely ruined you. I think probably the worst thing is assuming that this person did not realize how important Solaire was, and then continued to play on afterwards.
Oh no. Huh. And they just thought that they probably just thought that he was a regular bad guy. That's a shame. That is a weird first impression of that game, because Solaire is delightful.
Huh. Yeah, that's the true crime, is denying them the enjoyment of Solaire's company.
Right. The crime. I mean, it's game slaughter is what it is. It's not, you know, game murder in the first degree.
aggravated game slaughter.
Oh, man. David, what does Eric say?
Eric says, oh, man, I can tell you for sure that my worst habit would be asking to take over for them. I don't do it now, or try not to, because it's rude and unhelpful, but it was something I had to consciously stop doing. I still feel like a dick for it.
What is it, the old SNL thing? Move. Just Jimmy Fallon as the IT guy. Oh, man. Just like the IT guys at the company that I work for.
Isn't that the entire basis of the humor behind the IT crowd?
Maybe.
I don't know.
Huh. Yeah, no, that's a hard instinct to get over, like to watch people struggle, you mm-hmm. know. Ben, as
from the worst, yeah.
So I was gonna say, like, as the person who does kind of the most, well, I'm not gonna say backseat playing, but like co-opt through observation. Like, you will sit somebody down in a room with a game and just say, like, "Hey, I want to watch you play this." How do you avoid the kind of just the compulsion to jump in and rescue them?
All came from the education classes I took in college, where it's like, don't tell someone how to do something, let them figure it out, you know? Like, so I developed that skill kind of independently and just applied it to watching people play video games.
Nice.
Yeah.
So there you go, Eric. Just go to college to figure out how to fix this.
Yep.
So that's actually a big thing at, like, the coding boot camp I've been doing, because it's all paired programming. So one person is directing, mm-hmm. and then the other person is actually doing the typing. Mm-hmm. And it's really, really hard on both ends. It's really hard being the person typing, not to just, like, go and do it. It's really hard being the person directing, not to be like, no, no, not that line. Nope, that one. That, no.
So your other left.
Drop yeah. it.
That's why.
Drop that.
That's
why,
what's in your mouth?
Numbers.
What'd you say, Ben?
So that's why they have line numbers in code.
Exactly.
You can just leave passive aggressive comments later. File a real shitty bug report. Huh. Ben, what does Michael say?
Michael says, during a tournament of the fighting game BlazBlue, I might be mispronouncing that. Might be BlazBlue. I had a few great matches.
Sorry,
go ahead. I think it's BlazBlue.
Yep.
The real nail biter was the semifinals match. I played against one of the world's top ranked players. When I barely inched out a victory, I excitedly jumped up and gestured wildly at my opponent. What I said was, "You, great match." What he heard over the roar of the crowd was, "You ain't shit." To this day, he won't talk to me.
That's some Larry David shit.
Yep.
Well, it didn't help that the gestures that he was wildly waving around were middle fingers.
Right. He was like pointing at himself, saying, like, "Hey, come in for a hug," but it really just looked like you were pointing at your dick. lessons learned. Bygones are bygones. I guess not, because that guy won't talk to you anymore. I'm sorry, Michael.
You beat him. It doesn't matter.
That's a nightmare situation. I hate being misunderstood. That's terrible.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
Yeah. Sorry. I insinuated you pointed at your dick. Dennis, what does Ragavan say?
Ragavan says, "I hyped Borderlands 2 to a close friend of mine, and when the definitive edition was announced for the PS4, got him psyched and said we would co-op together. But when the time came, I got cold feet and backed out. Reason being, I had already completed the game on my PC and wasn't looking forward to paying full price for something I'd already played. He enjoyed the game a lot, but let's just say we never got to the topic." So you tricked your friend into buying something he enjoyed?
Well, no, it's just kind
well
of like
played, sir.
You know, if you got a special someone and you're like, "Hey, Stranger Things looks good, let's watch it," and then one day you're at work and they just watch the entire thing.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. You know, there's that's no good.
AKA,
I will say,
every MMO ever.
Right. What level are you now? Fuck.
Yeah. I will say that Borderlands 2. Is a really, really tough game to co-op, especially if you're playing with people who have been through it before. Mm. Because every joke in Borderlands 2 is funny exactly once. But most jokes are funny exactly once. Some okay, the average of funniness for jokes is somewhere between 0 and 1. but so to have one to be the person playing and have to listen through every, you know, single bit of story again just gets really, really brutal. Mm-hmm. And then as the person going through it the first time, you're like, but wait, there's interesting stuff here. Some of this is funny. Yeah. I don't want to like, and so there's a tension that's hard to resolve.
Yeah. No, but then it's just mash, 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 mash. Yeah. No,
yeah. They really need a mode like Diablo 3 has where it's just like, we will remove every bit of story from this so you can just play straight through.
Yeah. Let's just cater this to what we know you're doing. However, if it is a primarily multiplayer game, which I kind of figure Borderlands is, why do they have that other stuff to begin with? It seems like a very weird game.
I would really be interested to see the percentage of people that ever actually played a significant amount of Borderlands 2 co-op.
Hmm.
I bet you it's incredibly low.
Come on.
Yeah, I've never played any of the Borderlands games to any significant degree co-op.
Yeah.
Partially because of the reason you're talking about.
Just difficulty in finding folks?
Well, no, just in terms of like it's not fun to play twice, and it's not fun to play the first time with someone else.
Mm.
Yep, like, that's exactly it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a shame. Let's hear. Sam writes, on more than one occasion, I accidentally gave people bad advice while playing old Nintendo games because I misremembered a trick from an old Nintendo Power. In my defense, some of those games require some arcane shit to get to secret levels. For example, the coin ships in Mario 3. Okay, in order
like
to be
Golbez, you're giving the Konami code from non-Konami code games.
In order to be Golbez, you have to wait for him to wink and then dodge. What?
You have to swim under the ships in Mario 3 to get to the coin ship, maybe? I don't know. Can't remember. Never mind.
I can't remember. I didn't know about the coin ships, or at least not by that name, maybe.
Yeah, this was before my time.
Yeah. No, but that sucks when you think you're doing, I mean, that's what this whole thing is about. You think you're doing somebody a favor, but I don't know.
Damn it, Sam, the coin ships are in Xenogear. No, I have no idea.
How do you know about Xenogears?
I feel like this is much better, though, than all the other, like, old Nintendo games tricks that just were never a thing to begin with.
Mm, yeah. The playground myths.
Yeah.
Yeah. David, what does Ollie say?
Ollie says, I used to, or at least I hope I used to, be a real min-max kind of guy. And I'd constantly tell people exactly how to do something to the best level. I think the worst was in one of the UFC games where I put scratches all over a friend's controller, telling him exactly what a quarter turn and three-quarter turn of the stick was, and then expected him to thank me.
Well, you see,
I just imagine you like smiling helpfully while he's like looking at you in horror.
Dude, we're playing UFC. A pocket knife shouldn't factor into this. What do you think this is, WWE? See, this is why every controller should have an octagonal surround, just like the every Nintendo controller with an analog stick did up until the Wii U.
Mm-hmm.
Man, why?
Now I'm wanting to see to go back to a previous point: UFC versus WWE.
Yeah, Brock Lesnar wouldn't be so tough when he goes up against a folding chair. And I hope you like mercury poisoning from these fluorescent tubes. And that is my impression of the way those matches would go. It's very stilted. Yeah. Because the UFC people are not the skilled performers that the WWE people are.
Let's dialogue about your mother in the ring for 40 minutes.
Ben, what does Matthew say?
Matthew says, the best situation I can think of is in Super Smash Brothers team matches. If you are playing for stocks, I have definitely died enough times to eat into my teammate's life pool. Yeah.
So you're just going out there doing your best, but you're taking more than your fair share.
Mm-hmm. That's why you gotta play on 64.
The one true Smash. I see. I can't say anything about Smash Brothers because it makes people mad.
Do you mean Smash Brothers?
Yes, yeah, Smash. Dennis, what does David say?
David says, my wife was a goddess of the auction house in WoW. She made more money by the time she hit max level than I ever had in several years of playing. Then one night before we logged off, she commented she was totally out of inventory space. I tried to be helpful and put some stuff up for sale while she was sleeping. The next day, I found out her inventory was full because the market was in a slump, and I sold several hundred items at half of what she normally did. Whoops.
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
I'm helping.
Your penance should be that you had to go grind all those items back.
Yeah. You have to wash dishes in Orgrimmar until you cover the spread. That's pretty good. Oh man, and that gets like marriage involved in it. Wow.
That's like Woody in the doghouse for, man. You wouldn't understand.
Made a couple of bad deals. Oh, you mismanaged the money? Kinda.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Yep. Let's hear. Paul writes, getting four strangers to form a posse in Red Dead Redemption, then all getting in a carriage that I tried to take on a shortcut over the train bridge from Mexico and slowly, unintentionally letting it fall off into the water, killing us all. After that, I never do voice chat with strangers anymore.
I feel like, can we pause for a moment and just revel in though how badass of a story this is, that it was form a posse and then take a carriage after a train from Mexico. Like,
that's Red Dead Redemption, man.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm just saying that's. I'm again reminded how badass that game is and how so much ground it covered.
Yep. And also how just fundamentally broken it is.
I just love the idea that these AI horses are like, well, you're the boss.
Yeah.
Off the side of the bridge.
Yeah, pretty as opposed good. To doing the, what was it, the... Shadow of the Colossus, where the horse would stop and just let you go flying over the edge.
Yeah, because you crash test dummy over it. And I think this is a new Paul, or this is a Paul who changed their icon on Facebook. So just, man, our Paul problem is just getting worse.
So many Pauls.
Let's see here, David. What does Nathan say?
Nathan says, Pokemon Gold and Silver had a method of cloning Pokemans that involved transferring them between PC boxes and interrupting the game save at just the right time. It was complicated enough, and the internet was young enough, to where the knowledge was hard to come by. So I became the guy who could do it. A kid on my bus asked me to clone his Mewtwo, so I did. Unfortunately, I interrupted the save too early, and his Mewtwo was erased from existence. We never spoke again.
That is amazing.
That's what he gets for trying to cheat. He knew what he was getting into.
That's as opposed that's right. to, play with fire. If he had
play with fire type, you're bound to get burnt.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's that is a shame. Let's see here. Ben, what does Kilo say?
Keyless says something that someone else did to me. I was playing Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time Master Quest, and a friend who was guiding me suggested that I use the hookshot to stun an Iron Knuckle. It doesn't work. It pulls you to him. He yells, Zerg, Zerg, and then you die.
What a dick. Oh,
also,
pretty...
what is this Zerg, Zerg? I need an impression of it, because right now I'm just hearing a StarCraft reference.
Yeah, I'm hearing a StarCraft reference, too. Ben, what is it?
I had to look up an image of it. It might be something like, zerk, zerk. That's terrible.
It's like a siren?
Yeah, I don't know. I cannot emulate that bit.
Yes, that bit rate. Yeah. Let's see here. Dennis, what does Jason say?
Jason says, I'd have to say engaging in jolly cooperation against a Souls boss, but instead of managing to help out whoever, just getting killed immediately and serving only to leave the boss harder than it would have been without me in the first place.
Yeah.
Has every Souls game upped the boss difficulty when you spawn someone in?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's always been the risk reward.
I didn't realize that at least three did that.
Yeah, they do. I mean, even
NPC summons.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Yeah, it just it offsets. It's a balance measure because it doesn't double it like the HP. I'm not quite sure what the actual numbers are, like the way that it scales. However, it's still oftentimes there are certain bosses where this is not true, but oftentimes. With a lot of the bosses, you benefit so much from having somebody who can draw aggro that that it's still a net gain.
See, for me, I build my characters so much around offense that just having the ability to not have to worry about dodging makes most of the bosses fairly trivial.
Right. And it's just the game you play.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Except for freaking Aldrich or whatever. Fuck him.
Aldrich is so good. Yeah, man. People get on my dick for saying Aldrich instead of Aldrich.
Mm. I have no idea how it's pronounced.
Yeah. Let's see here. Let's lightning around these so we can get through the end just because we're so close. Noah says, ooh, timely. Less than 24 hours ago, I was couch co-oping some Rocket League with two friends. We made it to the season championship, tied 3-3 with less than a minute to go, when the other team took a long shot from our goal, or on our goal, rather. Thinking myself a skilled car soccerman, I boosted in from midfield to deflect the shot, not seeing that my goalkeeping teammate was already en route. He cleared the ball in my direction, leaving me to clumsily bank it right into our goal. losing us the game. We did win a season later in the evening, but that loss really brought the mood down.
Understandably.
I got it.
Oh.
You never like an unforced error, you know?
At least he didn't like ram jam his teammate out of the way and then knock the ball in himself. That could be one step worse.
Yeah. but I mean, but on the other hand, you're playing kindergarten ball where all the kids are going for the ball at the same time.
Mm.
Rookie mistake, said the person who's never played Rocket League. David, what does Greg say?
Greg says, I'm a nice guy by heart, so I don't think I've ever given bad or misleading advice on purpose. Now, I've told people to do things I found out that were wrong after the fact, but it wasn't on purpose. However, I do like annoying or teasing people. For example, for several years, while playing on Xbox Live, I used the logo of the New England Patriots as my avatar. Lifelong fan of the team, and I loved hearing people whine and groan about it when I played online. I felt annoying them gave me an edge to beating their complaining asses.
Yeah.
Gamesmanship.
You just put them, it's social engineering, you just put them a little bit on edge.
Like, they're in the back of their mind, they might be playing Tom Brady, and they just, the fact that they don't know for sure, even no matter how small the chance is, drives them nuts.
Ben, what does Anthony say?
Bailing out of a helicopter you're piloting in Battlefield springs to mind for me. Then watching it fall to the ground with any engineers on board furiously trying to repair it, not realizing that I'm long gone. Whoops.
So I'll step in here and say mine was basically any time someone got in a vehicle with me in Battlefield.
You don't know
it's
exactly.
A trap. Unless the person is like certified and you can observe them, you know, just tearing it up. You are either horrible at the helicopter or you are amazing at it. There is no in between.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Were there planes in the console versions? Because those were always kind of shit shows in a similar way.
There were jets in, I think, the last one on PS3.
Yeah, but I remember doing like biplanes and stuff like that in 1942, and having that just be a real nightmare.
One of my favorite memories from Battlefield 2 is, you know, like you said, the jets most of the time were horrible, but if you had someone who knew what they were doing, they could just go the entire game racking up kills without getting taken out.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the games I was playing in, one of the guys on my team had, like, right at the start of the match put C4 on one of the jets. And then, I mean, a long time later, you know, midway through the match, our entire team's in a tank, and this jet, who's just been, you know, tearing up the entire match, you know, comes in for a bombing run on us, and he detonates the C4, and we just hear the other guy cursing over the team speak.
Ah, nice.
Neat. Yep. I thought we had one more response, but we don't. So,
We have Nick Middlebrook.
No, but he's just bemoaning the fact that he missed the time limit, which just says,
yeah, I messaged irony. Him saying, respond now, but yeah.
Oh, well, sorry, buddy. But thank you, everybody, for writing. And let's go through ours. It's hard to think of a more salient example than when I made somebody rage quit Portal 2. I think that's the most infamous one. I can think of plenty of times that I've been like just a real cock to people in Dark Souls and MMOs, but like that goes against the spirit of the question.
Mm-hmm.
People who've watched me stream kind of know how I play games. Like I'm kind of always in a corner, you know, investigating stuff. And sometimes my priorities or the things that I see are not necessarily the same. Or in the same order as the things they see. So, yeah, when I made that person quit Portal 2, it made me think, maybe co-op Portal isn't for me. As fun as this is, and I put it down for a good long while after that.
Just got to do split screen.
I hate the thought. Yeah, I hate the thought that the quote-unquote get good people who would get mad and rage quit could ruin the game for someone else like that.
Yeah, this person was exceedingly patient with me. There was no voice chat. Like it was just kind of a no voice chat. He was just writing in writing in text, and it was kind of like, hey, you know, try this, shoot up there, marked this, and it's like, I don't know what I'm doing, I can't, and then he was just gone. Yeah,
cut his losses.
Cool. I'll co-op Portal 2 with you if you want.
Okay, I need to.
What happens when an unstoppable force hits an immovable object?
Oh no! We need to preserve our friendship, Ben. David, did you have anything else besides vehicles in shooters?
No, I think that's the main one. It's just any time that's a thing.
Okie doke.
Yeah.
Ben, how about you?
Like Noah, I'm going to have to go with Rocket League because there's a lot of times where you're like, all right, I got to clear this ball because the other two people are really close. And then as you're doing that, you see that your teammate is like in perfect position to clear the ball and you just either hit the ball or hit your teammate and just ruin stuff. And then you get scored on and it sucks.
Ugh.
But that happens often.
Yeah. I mean, so
kind of the thing Rocket League trades on.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but that's just kind of more of the chaos of the moment and a lack of communication kind of settling in.
It's really hard to call shots through like Skype because it's you basically are calling it as you're hitting the ball, so it doesn't really help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not a lack of communication. It's just it is, you know, poor quality communication.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dennis, how about you?
Yeah, so mine is definitely Rayman Legends.
oh no, you're in the same room.
Yeah, played that game couch co-op with my wife for a long time. We platinumed it, and they did daily quests where you would go in and just there was a new level every single day, randomly generated, that everyone was playing on. And they're all very, you know, they're like time trial levels meant to test your skills, so it's all very precise jumping and platforming. And so as long as you kind of stay in sync with the person you're playing with, it's fine. Like, you know, you're all doing the same things at the same time. However, if you kind of screw up a little bit and get out of sync, your spin move, which usually gives you some acceleration to jump with, will instead just smack the person in the back of the head in front of you. Mm. And so you'll come up to a jump and just unceremoniously smack them off the cliff, jump in the wrong timing yourself, and then both die.
Yeah. And
thankfully, it's very funny animations.
Yeah.
And the bad thing is, I hate to say it, but I think I'd bet on Jen could take you.
Yeah, she was amazing at that game. So she was definitely the better platformer on those time trials. She also had the patience for them. So the ones that just like were super difficult, I would get burnt out long before she would. It was super cool when you did stay in sync, though, because it was like the team of you, the two of you kind of moving in tandem, the synchronized swimming of the video game world, I'm calling it now.
Right.
But yeah, they just watching you and like going into the jump, knowing I'm far enough off that I'm going to screw over my partner, but not being able to get over the muscle memory of I need to spin jump if I want to clear this. Like, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah. That's funny. But you get over it. You move on. Aside from those mm-hmm. people who are no longer talking to people because of lost Mewtwo's, in which case, whatever. Yeah.
Dude, that was middle school. It was by far the most valuable thing he owned.
Oh, I'm sure. this monster that you're almost assured to get on a playthrough. Yeah. And what's a fifth grader's time worth anyway? Come on.
This is true. Just teaches them some character.
But thank you everybody for writing in. We really appreciate it. If you would like to participate in these in the future, go to facebook.com/thelevelpodcast and watch for those prompts to go up on Tuesday afternoons, usually thanks to Jala and Dennis.
The grind.
Now it is time for the grind, where we talk about the games that we have been playing over the last period of time or so. David, as is customary, as the person who's been away for the longest, I want to throw off to you. Have you been able to play any games on your sojourn to the West Coast?
I have not. So I thought I just might discuss some of the weirder happenstances that I've had, some of the misadventures.
Okay.
And instead. So a while ago, I was talking with Dennis, and you know, he asked what the most San Francisco thing that I had experienced was.
Poop on the sidewalk.
Huh?
Poop on the sidewalk.
Well, that's actually the next story.
Okie doke.
So yeah, I said something, but then that afternoon I had what I think is like the definitive most San Francisco thing, which was a group from the hacker house where I'm staying at decide to go to a couple blocks over where they were having a leather culture and S&M festival.
Okie doke.
Which I know it like overall it was actually kind of interesting. Like it's kind of cool seeing you know different subculture stuff like that. But at the same
almost
time,
almost uniformly, people that I've met who are in that are the nicest folks.
Oh yeah, yeah, very very much so. And I think one of my favorite things, and this is gonna sound weird, but like. It was one of those things where it was like an instance that was just like instantly captured, just like a really cool story or something like, I don't know if that's going to make sense to anyone but me, but they had the first aid tent set up, and it was basically like all these guys, like, you know, just wearing like leather harnesses and stuff like that. Just being like in mass, like misted with sunscreen lotion. It was just this really entertaining, like unique image.
Yeah.
But,
that solves the, like just a logistical question you might have about that arrangement.
Yeah. Well, and going along with that, I that was also when I learned that apparently, San Francisco has no public indecency laws. So say whatever you know people can say whatever they want about bronies. I think they cannot say, unlike myself, that they have seen a nudist brony.
Is that is it just like a person who has like a cutie mark like drawn on their hip or what?
Well, just like, you know, they had some elements of cosplay, just not in the places that normally would be covered.
Huh.
Like I don't know, like the whole thing, like I say, it was actually, you know, people were really, you know, really, really nice, really, really, you know, open, stuff like that. It was actually, but on the other hand, like, it was just a really weird experience in a lot of ways. Like, one of the things that was weird is, like, this tension between, like, you know, people will be, you know, doing their, you know, whatever, the, I don't know, like, acting like, you know, being walked around like a dog or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, on the one hand, like, you're like, I don't want to stare. But on the other hand, like, it's exhibitionism, so that's kind of the point.
Yeah.
What do you want me to do? I just want to do what you want me to do. I don't know. Oh, you okay, now you're a masochist.
Yeah.
You're a sub. Yeah.
No, I mean, whatever. You're at a festival. You're just kind of like, I don't know. Like, I can't put myself in your shoes, but like, just kind of like look at it. And if you're really feeling into it, like clap and say, oh, that's awesome.
Right. Yeah. The other thing that was pretty funny is Haagen-Dazs was there giving out like samples of ice cream, but what made it hilarious is it was vanilla ice cream.
Oh,
oh my that God.
That's fucking amazing. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh man.
So so that was a really cool experience. I guess another thing, I actually live like just south of the Chinatown.
Okay.
So I've been walking over in the morning and practicing Tai Chi with the older people there. In the park. And so that's been really cool, although it's kind of interesting because basically they don't speak any English and I don't speak any Cantonese. Mm-hmm. So that's just kind of like a really interesting experience. One of the guys though has kind of has kind of been working with me, teaching me, is actually he was doing a cane form, you know, like walking stick form that I expressed interest with. So now he's teaching me that.
Huh.
I may or may not have like accidentally stumbled into like the plot of a kung fu movie. I'm just waiting. Sooner or later, his former student who went evil is going to like kidnap someone.
But, yeah, pretty soon if he starts asking you to clean his house and stuff.
Yeah,
exactly. It is kind of funny though, because like one of the few things I do know in Chinese is basically the word for white person. So it's funny because I can at least tell when like they're talking about me.
forgive me if I get this incorrect, but Gualo?
Yeah. So. Which, interestingly enough, is a literally ghost man.
Yep. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, so it's actually a really cool experience. You know, just kind of a, I don't know, this sounds really trite, but like cultural exchange type thing.
Yeah, I mean, just you're learning stuff from each other without sharing a common spoken language.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So that's those have both been gone.
No, just you said the second story had to do with poop on the sidewalk. I
yeah, I'm
story.
Sorry. I switched stories. I'm getting to that one. So those have both been good things. Less good has been the fact that the district I'm in is completely like overrun with homeless people.
That's a real problem.
And and it's extremely. I guess, you know, obviously I've lived in Cincinnati. It is a city, you know, there are homeless people, but what I hadn't experienced before is, you know, the degree to which the people tend to be extremely, extremely aggressive and extremely, extremely mentally ill.
Yeah.
So it's the best way I can describe like living in this community is because they're, you know, once it gets dark, they're just, you know, all over the place, running around screaming, irrational things, is that it's basically like living with your next door or neighbors as the slicers from BioShock.
Oh, wow.
Like, that's literally what it sounds like is, you know, just at like 2 a.m, someone walking around just ranting. It's a interesting experience. I don't know what the deal is. Like, I've never experienced this many people that were just so overtly mentally ill.
Yeah. I don't know enough about the city aside from like broad strokes kind of stuff to say anything categorical about it, but like what it seems like is just that there are just no services for them.
Yeah, I think some of, I don't know, it's a really awkward situation because I mean I think some of it is just like the police don't enforce anything, and you know I've read some articles that basically say, you know, that's going to, you know, long run come back, that's not the right call because, you know, that's ultimately how you get people eventually getting fed up and doing just like heavy-handed draconian policies.
Right.
But it's the thing where like what's really frustrating isn't so bad. Like I can respect them taking a stand and not criminalizing vagrancy because, you know, that's kind of bullshit to be like, you don't own a house, therefore you are de facto breaking the law.
Right.
But on the other hand, like situations where people are legitimately doing things illegal, like one of the guys in one of my classes was, you know, during lunch, from the Hack Reactor, went and, you know, was at the local Indian restaurant and heard like a lady screaming outside, and, you know, went out and basically there's like a homeless guy like that lunged and was like grabbing at her.
Yeah.
And luckily this guy was like, ROTC is like, as soon as he's done with the program, he's, you know, being commissioned. So, you know, had some wherewithal and basically confronted the guy and, you know, intervened. But it's like, when the cops came, they're like, oh yeah, well, he'd done this last week, so I guess we'll arrest him. It's like, okay, so the policy is you have to sexually assault someone twice before you go to jail?
What you would hope for is authorities intervening, and instead of putting them into the criminal justice situation, you know, or system rather, you know, directing them to resources that would help.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, there's actually there's nearby a really cool program that basically what it's trying to do is I guess a lot of these programs fail because they basically say like in order to do the program, like you have to throw away, like, you know, get rid of like, I don't know, your shopping cart or you know just all your acquired, you know, stuff.
Right.
And you know, clean you up, and you know, whatever.
Yeah, and shelters aren't always a good place to be, and all that. Yeah.
Right, and that doesn't work because a lot of the people aren't, you know, they can't risk that.
Right.
So there's a place that's trying to just basically be like, you know, no strings attached, just come as you are, and we'll like help you get your life together. So.
Yeah. But, so. Now I'm getting bummed out. But I mean,
yeah,
it's a,
sorry about that.
No. I mean, just like it's a notable part of the experience of living there. I mean,
yeah. So, other than that, went to Heights Ashbury, today. So that was kind of interesting.
Heights Ashbury, like the Hate, like Hate Ashbury.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I always mispronounce it. Yeah.
Oh no. I just wanted to make sure it wasn't a different thing.
No. Yeah. I'm sorry. Hate Ashbury. Yeah. So that's That's interesting. This is like the last week was when San Francisco, or the week before, wherever, suddenly becomes a ghost town because everyone's at Burning Man. And so this week was basically Haight-Ashbury just catering to like everyone coming back from Burning Man.
Like just reacclimating them.
Coming party.
yeah. So I know, really interesting, like interesting experience. I know, like, there's a lot of complaints about it just being just kind of like touristized now, you know, and not being authentic. But at the same time, I feel like, you know, like one of the stores there is just full of like tie dye. It's all like hand done tie dye. It's like, yeah, maybe they're just like catering to like tourists wanting the like hippie culture thing of the 70s. But at the same time, this is people legitimately taking the time to do a crap ton of tie dyeing. I feel like that's kind of authentic.
Yeah. And, you know, that's part of the life cycle of any 50-year-old cultural movement.
Yep.
Yeah.
Keep waiting for bell bottoms to come back. Hasn't happened yet.
No, it came back in the 90s.
Didn't they? JNCO jeans?
JNCO's the new bell bottom. Juggalo's the new hippies. Oh, man.
I thought hipsters were the new hippies.
Well, I mean, what do you think juggalos are?
I try not to think about juggalos.
Cool. Well, thank you for sharing those. I've written these down as San Francisco feats. So neat. Did you have anything else, David?
No, I think that's it.
Cool. Let's go on here. Dennis, I want to hear what you have been playing.
Yeah, so I alluded to it, but I've been playing some pinball in Asheville, which apparently the pinball museums are following us. Every time we travel somewhere, we seem to find the pinball museum, which I'm more than happy about. So this one was like, you know, you paid $13 to get in and you could stay as long as you want and play as much as you want, which was great. We kind of found it at random after a food tour. We're like, oh, we'll stop in. We'll check it out. We wound up spending the entire night there, which was just fantastic.
Nice.
So highlight machines, there was the Lord of the Rings trilogy machine, which was a lot of fun. The Addams Family machine, which was that's a pretty famous one. I got to witness Jen for the first time seeing the flippers do the snaps when it's playing the theme song, and she just lost
great.
It. So that was a really fun moment. But the surprise hit of the night was a female secret agent machine titled, and I shit you not, Barb Wire.
Oh, that's totally a movie. Yeah,
barbed wire. And so we had, like, it was right next to the Lord of the Rings machine, and we started the Lord of the Rings machine, played it, and we're like, oh, let's go find other stuff. You know, found Adam's Family, and played, you know, a bunch of different machines, and barbed wire was literally the last machine that we tried. We were on our way out, and we were just like, one more. What the hell? Let's try this one. But it turns out it's actually like a really high quality table. Like it was the last table designed by some really famous designer, and just was a ton of fun and wound up being easily our favorite of the night. So that probably extended our stay by a half hour easily, just discovering and playing this table. And like, it's every bit as cheesy as the name would imply.
Yeah.
It's kind of intentional.
So it, like, that was probably done as a tie-in for a Pamela Anderson movie that was based off of Dark Horse comic series.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Just Ben, was that why you went? Oh,
yep.
Okay. What's that? Dance?
Oh no! That now I have to go watch this movie. You realize?
I mean, I assume it's like just trashy trashy,
preemptive apologies.
Yeah. I don't know if it's any good. I just know about it because of, you know, reputation. But I just wanted to make sure that was thrown out there. The game was fun.
Yeah, the game was fantastic. So it had kind of a combination of drop holes in the bottom of the table. So actually having the ball go like underground versus having a ton of ramps. As well as some just precision shooting elements. Jen actually set a high score on it.
Oh, wow.
So that was really exciting. Unfortunately, she panicked a little bit, and I think she put in JFC. it was hit the J, messed up the E, and then was like, ah, screw it, whatever. So that's...
That's pretty good,
Jesus
though.
Jesus and Christ got the high score, yeah.
That feels pretty appropriate. That's great.
Yeah. So that was a real good time. Got a picture of that. I haven't looked to see how it turned out yet. But yeah, that was really a fun time. Because I've been traveling, I have not played a lot else. I tried connecting remote play via my Vita. At the bed and breakfast we were at, but there was some problem with the password that I couldn't get the Vita onto the network. Yeah. So it wasn't that the connection couldn't be made if I was on. It was just I couldn't get on. So I'm still looking for that like far away hotspot to try to get the PS4 up and running through. We'll see what the furthest I am able to get away from home is. And then I've been playing a lot of Overwatch. So I downloaded the player test region. I talked about that a couple episodes ago, I think, and placed in competitive in that. And then the competitive season for the main servers came back a week early. So I placed in that and have not played a lot of games outside of that. I had an interesting conversation earlier today with some of the Slack people just about how you get kind of character momentum in that game. Where you kind of have your two or three characters that you're just really, really good with, and you know they're kind of your home base, right?
Yeah.
But the game benefit long term in the game by being able to play a bunch of different characters, but that means you have to be bad at a character for a time as you learn it.
Mm-hmm. And that isn't reflected in your rank.
Right, and that's just it. It's like that means I don't want to be playing in a ranked game with a character that I don't know because I don't want to hurt my teammates and whatever.
Yeah.
But for me, who doesn't have that much time to play every night, that means, okay, I've got to dedicate essentially a night of playing to learning a new character outside of ranked mode.
Right.
And that feels like I know it's not true when I say it feels like a waste, but it just feels bad. So
yeah.
I think I've just got to bite the bullet and like learn a couple of the characters better that I haven't even tried yet.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were some that, some that I've tried a little bit and really liked, but then kind of wandered away from, some that I haven't tried, period. And I want to get that balance. I just gotta find the time to do it.
Are there any specific like team niches that are kind of blind spots for you?
Yeah, I would probably say the tank role. So they're very high health, kind of
like a Zarya.
Exactly, or Zarya.
Yeah.
So I've got one Roadhog that I'm passable with. The problem is if you look at people who like main Roadhog, I'm not even close to their level.
Yeah.
There was one character, D.Va, she's a tank that I tried really early on. I absolutely loved her, but she was just objectively worse than all the other characters, so I drifted away. And they have since patched it to boost her or buff her a little bit.
Yeah.
And she's kind of back, and she's good again, or good for the first time, I guess. But I have not gone back to try the buffed version.
Yeah.
My only experience with her is that the Gremlin D.Va meme, despite the fact that I don't play the game, just makes my day every time I see it.
Yeah. The culture and all the fanfic, for lack of a better word, around that game is really hilarious.
Yeah.
But that's
so,
me.
So that's getting is the free weekend for that next week, or was that this previous weekend?
Oh, I've been seeing the Twitter ads, and I just ignore them because I own the game.
All right.
Yeah. I think it's coming up. Okay. It would have made sense if it was Labor Day weekend, but I'm still seeing them. So
yeah,
your guess is as good as mine.
Yeah, I'm just thinking that might be a time when I hop in and play more, just because more people can play it. Mm-hmm. Like a community kind of angle.
Plus, there's more scrubs on that weekend.
Yep.
Well, I think that's specifically for console versions. I might be wrong about that.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Wah, wah. Yeah, I've got it on PC. Yeah. Huh. Anything else?
Yeah. That's the big ones.
Okay. I'm going to do mine because, Ben, I know you're probably going to talk about something more in-depth than I can.
Okay.
But I finished Life is Strange. So I spoke about the first episode last week, and then I kind of took a great deal of like disconnected personal time over the weekend to like sit down and play this game for realsies.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, oh boy, do I like this game a lot.
Pretty cool, right?
Yeah, it's great. I have some pretty fundamental problems with the way that the nominal main plot went. Not the like the way things ended up with kind of the results of all the time travel fuckery, just kind of the mystery that you're solving. I kind of wish that was handled in a better way. And Ben, you and I are talking about doing like a bonus level kind of thing where we can talk more in depth about it. But like, I wish that overall they had the courage of their convictions to really lean into like the personal side of this stuff, as opposed to kind of some stuff that feels kind of predictable and arch about the way that these kind of mysteries could have come together. But yeah, like this is a, you know, like even playing it in a binge, I was worried about playing this kind of episodic game. So this is the game by Don't Nod, published by Square Enix, about the it is a high schooler. I was wrong last time. Yeah. Okay. But she's 18, so whatever. But you're playing as this high schooler who gets the ability to rewind time, and you are trying to solve a mystery about a missing person with after you've been reunited with your long lost friend.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. I love what they do, specifically with kind of rolling out new details and ways that the time travel can work. Over the course of things, like it does not stay one dimensional the entire time. You are not just fixing things that you fuck up. Well, yes, you are just fixing things that you fuck up because that's why you're going back in time. But it is not just like, oh, I dropped some liquid on that thing I was supposed to get. Let's rewind so I can get it. Like it gets more involved and more, you know, kind of just like noteworthy and kind of like more grand in scale as it goes along. And that really works out. And just, man, oh, man, I've got a lot of affection for so many of these characters. Again, specifically Chloe and her relationship with Max. That's so great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would recommend it to anybody. Like, fucking play this game. It's really good.
Yeah, how much is it? I think $20 for the whole thing?
I think so, but it's always on sale. Not always, but like, good.
Is that on Mac?
I don't know. I can do a quick search. I played it on my Windows machine via the Steam link. But yeah, and I can't look it up. I would imagine it is, because usually Square is pretty good about doing that stuff. But yeah, it is a really emotionally affecting story. And like if somebody is looking for something that is probably like not as good, but like in the same echelon as like S1 of Walking Dead, then this would probably be it.
Nice. Yeah, that's
I don't know how much to say about it, because I know we're probably going to talk about it at length later. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's definitely good. I think I kind of binged it in a weekend as well. I definitely think it has the addictive factor that once you start playing it, it's worth playing all of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So My kind of weird relationship is like my fix for not being able to game has actually been watching Let's Play of someone playing it.
But really?
Which is like, let's just, I don't know, I feel like I could have picked less depressing things for
yeah.
But
especially you too, yeah.
It's very much not my type of game, but I'm loving that Let's Play enough that I'm debating like stopping because I actually want to play the game.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very similar experience to like watching a TV show, you know, like I would just wake up, think, well, I've got some stuff to do today, but like time that I would spend just kind of like watching this thing. Well, why don't I just play some Life is Strange? Like, and that is a very comfortable place for games, like, you know, especially for a game like this to fit. And like the fact that I was so motivated to just kind of like keep going, you know, kind of speaks to its appeal. I probably would have been very frustrated if I played this when it was contemporary and I was waiting, you know, 2 months between each episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's kind of a common thing with episodic games for me as well.
Yeah.
Well, especially because from what I remember, from what I've seen, this just really, really hard cliffhangers.
Yeah.
I mean, oh, I would say maybe almost excessively so.
Yeah. But I mean, like the ending of one chapter is marketing for the next.
So it looks like you can get it for like PlayStation for like $18, which is pretty cheap. But for some reason on Steam, it looks like it's like $18 per episode. So maybe
that can't be correct.
I would like to believe that as well, and I hope that's not the case. But
are $20.
Yeah.
On Steam. Okay. And it looks like it will run. It will run on a high-end MacBook that doesn't have a video card, so it's actually fairly reasonable specs. So I might have to pick this up.
Yeah, right. Go for it. I would definitely recommend. It's even if it's just something you play like one chapter a weekend, it'll do you right. What are you gonna say, Ben?
Yeah, I followed the next link to the page. You can get the entire season on Steam for $19.99. So, yeah.
Worth it. Yeah. That's what a season of TV would cost you. And this is just about that.
Mm.
Yeah. Cool. So, Ben, I want to thank you publicly for getting me that copy of Abduction. I'm going to be playing that later. I want to hear about Abduction.
Awesome. Yeah. So, I ended up beating it this week. It's good. It's very similar to The Witness in the fact that like it's like a puzzle box, and the more puzzles you complete, the more you see of the world that you're in. It has a slightly more complicated world than The Witness does in terms of all the mechanics of it and all the like rules they set up in the world. However, there is like a narrative there, and maybe I just need to do more research into the narrative, but I was a little bit like, I didn't really care that much about the narrative, so there wasn't, like, a big narrative payoff in the game at the end of the game. So I'll kind of won't say much about it, but, yeah, I'll be interested to talk about it with you more in depth once you play and beat the game.
So given the development team's kind of pedigree working on the Myst games, you know, again, this game kind of standing in contrast to The Witness, where most of the puzzles are symbolic in nature, you know, mm-hmm. like you know it is a common input method that is kind of defined by a varying set of rules that are applied depending on where you're at least for the apparent main puzzles of the game. I'm not even getting into the weird environmental kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas this, from what I've seen and just knowing this developer, looking into kind of creating these kind of like systems in between different places, like a more mechanical kind of thing, like which of those kind of approaches kind of appeals to you more?
It's really tough to say. There's a lot more like interconnected puzzles in Abduction than there are in The Witness, I would venture to say, or like there's a lot of overlap where, you know, you need to set things up in completely different places in order to unlock something else.
Yeah. Like the solution of one will lead into the next one or something else way, way down the line. Right.
Yeah. There's like a lot of apparent dead ends that you run into in this game where it'll show you a lot of things ahead of time. So, it'll, like at the beginning of the game, the world feels very isolated and kind of locked down because you can't access anything yet. But then like kind of like the joy of it is you start opening up like doors like one after another, and you start to see how they like connect. And so that's a really cool like experience of the game. I think there's a lot more like kind of like geometric or like spatial problem solving going on in this one than in mm-hmm. The Witness. Where you have to, it's very hard to keep like a mental map of where everything is and how it's all related. But that's one of the challenges in this game that it's more challenging in this game than I think it's in any other game that I've seen, perhaps. But and then on the other side of it, there's still like kind of staple puzzles that are similar to Myst, where it's like there's like a number combination lock, and you have to somehow figure out how what the right combination is.
Yeah.
You know, either by roll cues or some sort of mathematical problem or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I will admit there were a couple puzzles that I did have to look up, which is usually something I try and avoid to do.
Yeah.
But I think when it got to a point where like I'd spent like an hour walking around and I didn't know what to do, I would start like looking up like hints for how to solve the puzzle and go from there. So that was one thing that kind of bummed me out that I had to resort to that. But I don't know. It's also cool that a game is that challenging. You know?
That feels so par for the course for the series. You know, if you can consider this part of the body of Cyan's work, like I don't think that there is any shame in kind of looking for a lead, you know?
Yeah. There were, I think, two puzzles in the game. One that I just like straight up didn't agree with, and I thought they could have done a better job. But part of the reason why I say that, it was a very mathematical puzzle, so I had very strong opinions on it. And,
was it the classic Cyan like counting in a different base kind of thing?
It's similar. Yeah, it involves like a number system of a certain base and certain rules that they've done with it. And
so, I love how vague you're being.
Yeah, I know. But you know, like I figured out what the numbering system was, and so like, yeah. So there's one where it's like they could have made it a more like mathematically pleasing puzzle, but they didn't. So anyway, I can talk more about that in depth later. I guess not to spoil it, but
yeah.
I don't know. So it's definitely interesting. I do think the game is like pretty unique. Like I haven't seen another game like that. The science fiction of the game is also pretty unique.
It's about a town or like a you know country or whatever that has been kind of like ripped out of space.
Yeah, the word abduction, there's a reason why they spell it with like an O instead of like a, and it's the idea it's like a planet or like a sphere being abducted, you know.
Yeah.
So it's very
Grand Theft Planet.
Yep, or abduction. Huh.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, aside from having to look up a hint, it sounds like you've had a good experience with it.
Yeah. I mean, I very much enjoyed it. There's such good like puzzle design in the game, or, you know, like there's so few other games that like have that sort of like depth and complexity to puzzles. So I at least very much appreciate that aspect of it.
Yeah.
So yeah. Yeah. As far as like the narrative, like I feel like that's probably the weakest point of it is like the character acting and the voice acting. It looks very similar to like what Myst was, or it feels very similar to what that was, and not exactly a compliment.
Its appeal will probably depend on how much you can just kind of like smile warmly at the Rand brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the Miller brothers.
Yeah.
And one of the other things is there's like a lot of frame rate issues with the game, I think. So like my computer runs it and it,
in order to get the Myst experience.
Yeah. there is an option on the game where you can toggle between it being a 3D game and having it just be a like a 2D point and click game.
Like a node-to-node kind of thing.
Yeah, so it's made both ways, which I thought was pretty cool.
Like real Myst.
Yeah. But I think other people as well have been saying that there's kind of like hiccups in performance with this game. So that's kind of a bummer. But it, from my experience, it didn't get in the way completely. But there are loading screens at certain points that like take like 20 seconds or so. So it's kind of a little bit takes you out of the game experience. But
at least you don't have to put in a new disc.
That's true. Yeah. I suppose it could be worse. But yeah, overall, I mean, it's definitely favorable, but I do think I like The Witness better for sure. Yeah. I still think that's like my game of the year so far. But,
yeah, I'd be curious if you like went back and played like Riven or something like that. Like it's definitely less friendly from an interface kind of perspective. But like if you dug what this did, I think I haven't played this to have a point of reference, but like if you're interested in that, I think that those older games would actually still hold a great deal of appeal for you.
Yeah, I mean, I played Myst when I was a kid, but I imagine it would be interesting going back to that as well, because I don't remember any of the solutions for the puzzles. So, yeah, that might be something I pick up.
Yep, they're on GOG and stuff like that. Like, you know, I'm not saying go do this, but like that would be an interesting experience, especially as you kind of have dove into these worlds. You know, these kind of very kind of like technical arcane first person puzzle kind of things. Yeah.
All right, and I got one more thing, a tiny thing. I didn't play, but I watched somebody stream through Limbo, and so from like start to finish. So that was just a fun experience to go back and watch that game.
So you hadn't played Limbo, or you had?
I had played Limbo, but I hadn't played it in probably like 3 or 4 years. So. Okay. It was somebody playing it for the first time, I should say, as well.
Okay, was this somebody you knew, or did you just kind of like hook on?
It's one of my coworkers.
He's actually stalking someone.
It's fine.
But yeah, that was fun to watch, especially after playing Inside so recently. Yeah. Like, it's just cool to see the common themes of the two games, or like the
mind control.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, that sounds like an episode to me.
Mm-hmm.
Do you all want to?
It definitely sounds like it.
Yeah, I know. You know, there are voices and everything. Do y'all want to button it up?
Sure.
It wouldn't be an episode if we didn't.
So thank you everybody for tuning in for level number 165. We're so grateful that you took the time. We'd be even more grateful if you took the time to tell your friends about the show and help spread the word. David, so happy you were able to join us.
Hey, happy to be here.
Yeah. Cool. And I would encourage listeners to wish David all the best as he enters kind of the second leg of this this cool little boot camp journey that he's on. I'm trying to think of like more kind of admin kind of stuff. I forget if I've talked too much about this, but we're going to be, and by we, I mean me, I don't know who else, but network folks are going to be in Portland for the Portland Retro Games Expo, weekend around October, let's say 22nd and 23rd. More details are going to emerge about that. We are playing Pokemon Yellow for the Watch Out for Fireballs live show that we're doing. And they're going to be all kinds of stuff. So if people are booking travel and want to come out, it's about 6 weeks ahead. So now's the time to buy airline tickets. He said to himself, guilty that he hadn't bought his ticket yet. But we would love to see you. And if you come out wearing level gear, I don't know, I'll give you a hug. I'd probably give you a hug anyway, but whatever.
You can cajole him into a hug.
Yeah. But that's kind of the big thing coming up here. But otherwise, we're just so happy for any iTunes ratings or reviews you can spare. And also, Patreon or the shirt store at duckfeed.tv/shirts. All of that goes a long way for us. Am I missing anything, fellas?
I'll just say real quick, because it came up on Slack, like if you are either new to the Slack or ducked in and then, you know, kind of bounced out for whatever reason, come in and say hi. Like, it's an incredibly welcoming community and people will be more than happy to explain all the many in jokes that bounce around. And
right.
Like, it's just a very welcoming place. So please, if you have access to it, one, if you don't have access, get access to it, because it's awesome. But then. Yeah. Too, if you have access and have felt in any way like intimidated by the community that exists, it is a community that will welcome you in with open arms, and you should totally jump in.
Hang out. This is the biggest thing that you need to know whenever somebody summons an animal to see a cute picture of an owl, most predominantly, or some other stuff. That usually just means something bummed them out, or they just wanted to raise the tone of whatever is happening. That I think is the most impenetrable thing. But oh my gosh, I'm so proud of how welcoming the community is. The best thing I can say. I was at least tangentially involved in helping happen. But yeah, please please come along and don't worry about being excluded or anything. Our goal is inclusion. Okie doke. So I have been Cole Ross at Cole Ross on Twitter.
I've been Dennis Furia at D Furia on Twitter.
I've been David Moneysmith at Moneysmith777 on Twitter.
And in San Francisco. My name's
And in San Francisco.
And I've been Ben Merkel at Merkelizer on Twitch.
Yep. And until next time, stick around for a title. So, do we have any titles?
Yep. Oh, do we?
Well, Dennis, since you said that, what do you got?
Yeah, I've got a running start into McConaughey.
Okay, I stylize that as running start to McConaughey.
Yep, yeah, that's fine. Okay. Super Mario Entrapment. Aggravated Game Slaughter.
Okay.
And then Orbduction.
Get a little bit of orb synergy. We've got a lot of orbs taking the network by storm. It's an orb storm.
The movement would be proud.
Let's see here. Ben, what do you got?
I got work hard and be really dumb. That's a noun-ass noun. Lost Mewtwo's. Or sorry, Lost Mewtwo's. And then I also had Super Mario Entrapment.
Okay. David?
I did not record. So.
Okay.
Give him some slack.
He's in a well. Come on. So I've got Running Start to McConaughey, Aggravated Game Slaughter, and Super Mario Entrapment. So it sounds like the three that have multiple recordings here are Running Start to McConaughey, Aggravated Game Slaughter, and Super Mario Entrapment.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like the final one just because I want to see the box art.
It's just Mario in tight leather pants avoiding laser wires.
No, it's to the earlier theme. It is the Ace Attorney Mario mix-up we've been waiting for.
Oh, yeah. No, just reminds me of the probably still my favorite joke that I heard on it was either Video Games Hot Dog or Advice Hot Dog Zach. It was one of his friends who said if a police officer if you ask a police officer what his favorite movie is, he has to tell you, otherwise it's Entrapment starring Catherine Zeta-Jones. Which, that's an amazing joke. Nice. I'm not ashamed to admit that I busted that out at work.
Nice. I don't know where my mind goes with just the police doing the prostitution stings. Except crossed over with Mario.
Oh yeah. So Super Mario Entrapment is tied in with a news story. So I'm good with that.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay. There we go.
Got my vote.
All right. Sounds great. Yeah. I'm gonna go to bed. Yeah.
Good night.
Have a great night, everybody.
Good hanging out.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Night, guys. Good night, y'all. Good hearing from you.
Yep. Take care.
Definitely.
See you.
Peace. Good night. Bye.